Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Frankie gave us a chance the whole night. I thought he played outstanding, and we were opportunistic. You know, we scored on a couple chances. Didn't create a lot, that's for sure, but like we got a couple chances, and we capitalized on them. We were able to grab the 2 points. Sometimes it goes that way, where you outplay a team. Not often when it's that badly, but we'll take the 2 points and run.
Yeah, Jared Bednar just... He was as light after a game as you'll typically hear him. He was like, yeah, we stole one tonight. We stole one.
It's all right.
And they did, and there's nothing to apologize. That's one of the beauties of hockey is that sometimes you get badly outplayed. The Avalanche got outplayed, got outshot 48-15 on the road.
That's incredible.
But, hey, that's hockey. You got a hot goalie. He can make up for all of that. Pavel Francouz was outstanding, stole one for the Avs. And another good thing that came out of it, Alex Newhook scored. And Newhook was benched at the end of the last game, and Bednar came out after the game and said, he's got to be better. And that's one of the really, there aren't very many keys to this season until we get to the playoffs, but one of the things to watch this season is, at least through the first 25, 35 games, these bottom six forwards, some of these younger players like a Newhook that are being given a chance to step up in a expanded role, how do they handle it? If they don't, are the Avalanche out looking to make trades? Newhook, the fact that he answered the bell after his coach called him out, that's a real positive.
Here's a couple things I look at. I always look at hits. We out-hit him 28-18 and block shots 15-8. That's grimy stuff. You know, sometimes shots are just shots. Sometimes shots
are,
right?
Yeah, they're, absolutely.
Not every shot is equal or created the same. So there's that aspect to it. But I will say this. I will say this. I love the benching of a young player or any player that's paramount to your success to let that player know, dude, I expect more from you. And let that be a lesson to the Denver Broncos. Because there's a couple guys that... You know, that if you're not performing or you're not throwing blocks or you're not holding on to the ball or you're not, you shouldn't get to play. And if you pout on the sideline, guess what? You'll never play. And those are the messages that need to happen.
Next and four down.
Second down.
A long December, and there's reason to...
Under center and the gun, when the game first started, it was primarily all under center. Now we see so many unique defenses, and certain guys are getting up into the line of scrimmage. It really starts with protection. Is that whenever you're protecting and you have guys running through the A-gaps, the line can only take so many. You have to have people come down. You have edge threats and so forth. So you always want, at times, the quarterback to be back in the gun.
Okay, I'm not telling tales out of school. As you were listening to that, you were kind of biting your lip and shaking your head.
The more spread you are, the more you get into three wides and open up a tight end, and the more exotic you are, the more exotic they are. It's just the way it works. I mean, you can sit there and say it's not that way, but I've talked to so many coordinators when we're struggling. Now, if you have an experienced big-time quarterback, some guys like to be in the gun because some guys like to see it. But there's so many more exotic defenses and players, Mike. Got nickel guys that can blitz, that play like linebacker, DB, corner. They can come from so many different areas of the football field. When you condense and you get big and you get under center, it limits what packages people can do. You're in base packages. There is not exotic stuff out of base packages. There's so much more exotic stuff out of shotgun spread formations, 100 times more. Completely disagree with that.
Next and four down.
Third down.
Coach, is it crazy just to use a a vet back there to take punts back? I mean, even more core offensive player or defensive player to ensure the right thing gets done more often?
Do you have a suggestion on who we should use, just so I know?
Sure. Patrick Surtain.
Patrick Surtain. So if he goes back there and gets hurt, who do you think will be in trouble, myself or you? For suggesting that, thank you for getting me off the hook.
Yeah, I mean, just to keep the argument conversation going, Deion Sanders did a pretty good job with it. There's been other players throughout the years that have done it.
Deion Sanders did it his whole career, though, correct? Patrick hasn't done it his whole career. And to put a guy back there who's our starting receiver, to put him in harm's way, that would be idiotic by me.
Idiotic!
Mm.
All right, so while I appreciate the D-Mac's dogged pursuit of the topic, in his never-ending quest, by the way, to justify his belief that George Payton gets an F for drafting Pat Surtain at number 9, he now suggests that because Pat Surtain never gets thrown at, therefore really isn't bringing much to the defense,
right,
you're not really getting any value out of Pat Surtain because nobody throws to him, he doesn't have any stats, that you got to get some more use out of him.
Right.
He's got to earn his paycheck a little bit more. So put him back there catching punts.
Look how stupid I am.
One, that is, you got blessed, D-Mac. That's awesome. I mean,
idea?
The idea is ridiculous. It's just insane. Plus, if the guy's never done it before, I'll just tell you
he did it back in high school. Back in high school, every great athlete returned kicks and punts in high school.
It's a different animal, man. Special teams, especially when you're a starter. You know, especially Dan, I watched that game I went back and watched the week 4 matchup between the Raiders and Broncos and broke it down last night. And, you know, Pat Surtain was basically tasked that whole game, minus a few here and there, tasked that whole game with being following 17, Davante Adams. He did a phenomenal job on Devontae. You're going to run with that guy all day and then go back and return punts and no, thanks.
Funny thing, too, is that I've had this conversation with him and he insists that the only thing that you want out of your punt returner is just catch the ball. He thinks the idea of trying to return punts is stupid. Okay, so I'm going to take my all-world cornerback, put him back there with the express purpose of just catching punts. Have you seen our special teams?
Right.
The likelihood that one of our guys just kind of doop 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 wanders over and is standing right in front of Pat Surtain as Pat Surtain is looking up to the heavens to catch a ball, and our guy gets blocked into Pat Surtain, who not only fumbles the ball but maybe gets hurt. Genius.
Yeah.
Real men are genius.
Yeah, that.
We're
one,
surrounded by it.
We need to put that one to bed.
That's all right.
Yeah.
He's our
little deep.
I'd like the fact he's a real gumshoe.
That guy, that D-Mac guy, he's a real gumshoe. He had one of them gumshoe and the press thing in his hat.
Put a hat with just his press. Says press. On the top. Okay.
All right.
That was fun, though. Hey, it was entertaining. And
sure.
Lord knows we could use some more entertainment when it comes to the Broncos. So thank you, D-Mac. That'll do it for 4 down territory. 3rd and long again.
The king is here.
Yeah, we've been
really relying on Marquette this week. Yeah. Marquette has earned his money.
Yeah, he has.
Marquette has earned his money. The king has earned his money.
Yeah, yes.
Coming up, it's Is It Just Me Friday. We'll get to some of the best of the Is It Just Me's, and we need the phrase or phrases that pay for Mark's broadcast on Sunday. That's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, joins us, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, good morning. Good
morning, guys. How are you?
Troy, we're doing great, man. Great to have you on the program. So what have you learned this week after another brutal loss in Tennessee, heading on to this this game where somebody's got to win, apparently, which is not actually true. There have been two ties over the course of this rivalry. But what have you learned? And I guess just kind of the general feeling of is this a must-win for Hackett to save his job?
I'm not going to say it's a must-win, but he's vulnerable because it's a home game. It's against a rival. They haven't won in the AFC West. And typically over the last 3 decades when I've covered professional sports, what triggers a coach getting fired is a bad home loss. meaning the owners are all there, although they go to the games anyway, but they're there with a lot of people, and then the crowd turns on the team, and then there's not many people left at the end. All those circumstances are in play, and that confluence of factors, if you lose 24-3 or, you know, 17-9 and you're not in it in the fourth quarter, it leaves him vulnerable. I felt like he probably has till close to the end of the season before when you could then eligible to talk to potential candidates. So, yeah, he's in danger, no doubt, because of the offense. You talked about it on your Telestrator Tuesday, Mark. I did a deep dive into the All-22 film as well. It's just it's not working with Ian Wilson. You've said it. I've said it in stories. It's like they're calling plays in a vacuum, throwing darts, however you describe it. It's completely disconnected offense. And until they figure out who they are offensively with an identity to do something well, then it's hard to see great improvement. And maybe that will be this week. I don't hold out much hope because it should have happened after the bye week, but this is where we are.
Busy with Troy Rank. Troy, based on your reporting, is there anything to the report that Russ is barking out Seattle Seahawks audibles?
I know he does use some of the same verbiage and some of the cue words that he used in Seattle. And a couple of discussions I've had with players, they weren't saying they were confused. They knew him. There is some overlap between some of the stuff he used in Seattle and some he uses now. Are there instances where he might have said something that he didn't incorporate? I mean, I'm sure it could have happened. That's not been voiced as a complaint to me by players. I mean, the frustration with the offense is just that, you know, they don't really know who they are, and they can run vertical routes waiting for guys to come open who don't get separation, and they have linemen who are, it's a mismatched line, who can't hold blocking that long, and they don't look like they're well coached up front. It just looks like a mess. But from my discussion briefly about this with guys, it's been told to me he does use some of the same words he used in Seattle, but they didn't indicate that it was something they hadn't heard. That was not indicated.
So, defensively, just an amazing job right now, what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, leading all these categories and, you know, from third downs to, you know, red zone and scoring and all these different things. And they're doing it, you know, I mean, we talk about injuries on the offensive side of the ball, but they're doing it with the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, I mean, talk about what they've been able to accomplish there. And then the changeup that they made with Draymond Jones, moving him to the outside. It was just it's just been pretty amazing to watch this defense play.
Yeah, you talk about a guy who does have his pulse on his personnel, his players, and an identity of a defense that's aggressive, impacts the quarterback, and adjusts week to week, all the things you need to do in the NFL. Draymond Jones, I talked to him yesterday about it, Mark. I'm like, have you ever been really an outside linebacker? He was briefly at Ohio State, but he had his hand in the ground. He's never really been in a game standing up as an outside linebacker. Now, he's done it during this season a few times where you see him stand up to rush or to create confusion. But he said, hey, we wanted to keep Mike Purcell and DJ Jones in the game at the same time. Chubb's gone. You've got injuries to other guys. And he was all on board with it. They trust Averill to put him in the best position to succeed. And that's what total buy-in looks like, is, hey, we got to move these parts because we got to stop Henry. If we stop Henry, we feel like we have a chance to win. Now, it left them vulnerable to one play, a flea flicker, and they got beat on a corner route to the end zone. But, I mean, you shouldn't lose games when you're holding teams to 17 points. And in this case, they lead the league in fewest points allowed per game. You shouldn't. If they averaged a field goal more a game offensively, they'd be 6-3. That's what's discouraging. But my one worry for the defense, while they buy in for Averill, is we saw this a few years ago with the Broncos defense where the elasticity, the rubber band finally breaks. And they have a game where they give up, you know, 35, 40 points because they're kind of over it. I haven't seen that from this group, but that's my concern, is you just get tired of the three and outs. And that's why it's so frustrating with the offense that they won't take layups in the passing game and just stay on the field some, because that's what will break the defense. It's the 6, 7, 8 three and outs that the defense eventually, you're going to go against a team that's going to put up 35 or 40 because you're either over it or you're gassed or you're injured, one of the three.
Do you get the sense, Troy, that they consider Averill a rising star over there enough to the point that it might even be another reason to move on from Hackett?
Well, there's certainly that feeling in the industry. The issue here would be, it's separate of Coach Averill, is that he would be another first-time head coach for the fourth time and has not worked here. That would be the calculated risk of maybe he is finally the right first-time head coach who's never been a head coach. It's just that would follow after Vance, Vic Fangio, and Hackett if it goes that way. And it has not worked here. It would be difficult for me.
Unless you made the move now. Unless you made the move now and gave him right. half a season of reps.
Right. And then the concern would be, what do you do with your defense if you feel like you're still in it? You know, can they still call the defense? Who steps up and calls the defense? That's the danger when you go to an interim. That's why you hear Dom Capers' name floated, or you would go with a special teams guy. It wouldn't necessarily be Stoops. Maybe it's Rosberg. I don't know. Because it keeps the other pieces in place, so it's more manageable. But, yeah, I mean, in the industry, Averill's a rising star. There's no doubt. And he will get interviews, whether it's here or somewhere else. Does he feel like he needs another year? You saw that with D'Amico Ryans last year with San Francisco. I was talking to a couple people about him last year. He had opportunities. He finally turned down an interview at the end because in talking to his own players, what I was told is he's like, you know what? This team's too good in San Francisco. I feel I could use another year of seasoning with this group before I move forward. Is Coach Averill in that position? I don't know that. They all want to be head coaches, as they should. But it would be interesting if that's how you would say, okay, you get the final four games to see what you are and get a trial run. It's just not always fair then, because sometimes the team, frankly, is checked out.
All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
We'll see you Sunday. Yep, we'll talk to you Sunday as part of our pregame show from Mile High Station. Looking forward to that. Troy Rank of Denver 7, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy and all our guests appearing on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline.
Hold on, Johnny.
Here we go.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
No, Ejero Ivero. Go ahead one more time.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
Think sing song.
Yeah.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
Ejero Ivero.
Thank you, Johnny.
Three syllables.
Ejero Ivero. I got it. Ejero. Ejero. Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy. Don't call him Ejero.
Ejero.
Please don't call him Ejero.
Ejero.
Don't embarrass
him. Ejero. Stop. Ejero Ivero. I got it. Ejero Ivero.
What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, it is not ending. And yes, I'm talking about the end. It is not ending well for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Wow.
And maybe sometimes the best deals you make are the ones you don't make. Because Aaron Rodgers looks awful. He admits he's awful. He admitted he had a case of the wobbles yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his passes looking Peyton Manning-esque at the end. And he was being booed. Aaron Rodgers being booed. And what was trending after the game was the idea, is it time to turn to Jordan Love?
Ugh.
Ooh.
There's up on ESPN right now, it says, will Aaron Rodgers' career be viewed as a disappointment? Four-time MVP, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, one Super Bowl win. Well, you know how I've described the Packers for forever.
Yeah.
Under Aaron Rodgers.
The dynasty that never was.
Dynasty that never was.
Man. It's like Aaron. It's like multiple whoobies.
Multiple whoobies?
Yeah.
Explain. God bless you.
It's like Aaron was Hackett's whoopee, and Hackett was Aaron's whoopee.
They miss each other.
They do.
They really miss each other.
Well, it's not going good. Not going well. Not going good. Jeez. Not going well. And watching the Titans last night, man, that was like football porn for you, wasn't it?
I love it. I love
running the ball, just sending Derrick Henry over and over again into the line, 3 yards here, 4 yards there, then setting up play action. Easy throws for Ryan Tannehill.
Hey, let's get into some condensed heavy formations, multiple tight ends. Give me a fullback. Let's go 22.
We only need one receiver. Right? I mean, give me two tight ends. Give me Dulcich and, I don't know, whoever else you want to put in there. Give me a fullback. Fullback's hurt, though, right?
Really? You had to do this? Award goes to Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing, who maybe after coaching his best game ever, got back to Tennessee after the flight and got arrested on a DUI.
Ooh. Not good.
Not good. The NFL, thanks to Adam Schefter and I, and our recommendation.
Right.
Because it was soon after that we hashed out the idea that if they couldn't play the game in Buffalo, they should just move it to Detroit, because Detroit's on the road this weekend and the Bills play at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Makes it very easy. Just move it to Detroit. Well, they moved it to Detroit. But a lot of backlash. A lot of people are upset. Hey, man, this is Buffalo. It snows in Buffalo. This isn't the first time Buffalo's gotten hit with a big storm and they've been able to still play a game there. Did they do the right thing where a state of emergency has been declared in Buffalo with all the snow that's expected to fall? They're talking about the possibility of 70 inches of snow. 70 inches. Go ahead. Do the math.
That's 70 inches. That's almost 6 feet.
Huge.
Boom. There you go.
What's 6 feet? 72 inches.
Right. So that's almost 6 feet of snow in a 24-hour span.
5'10".
24 hours.
That's like your height. 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'11". They're talking about 6 feet of snow possibly falling in 24 hours.
Again, it's not.
That's a lot of snow.
It's not.
That's a thunder snow.
I heard the drive talking about it. It's not. Adam pointed it out. It's not about them not being able to get the stadium clearance. It's about taking resources for a football game away from the community that may need it. You know, if people get snowed in, elderly people need attention, medical care, and all that kind of stuff. That's what the NFL doesn't want. Oh, we couldn't get to this person and they died in their home because we were too busy shoveling out the parking lot, right? That's what the NFL does not want, and that makes sense.
And it actually does make sense because Buffalo is playing in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. This makes it, if I'm a Bills fan, then you know what? This is actually easier for my team to just go play climate controlled in Detroit on Sunday, get to stay there, relax. All of a sudden, the short week prep doesn't become a big deal at all because you're already there.
You're not traveling,
And then you go play there on Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. So they are going to do that on Sunday. And for those of us who own Stephon Diggs on our free agent team, the idea that he gets to play two straight games in a dome, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. The American League and National League MVPs were announced. No surprise, Aaron Judge gets the award in the American League. Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals wins the National League award. But guess who finished third in the National League voting?
Third in the National League voting?
Third in the National League voting.
Iron Man?
No.
Oh.
He was among others receiving votes.
This is a shocker. He voted for himself. They did have an over 500 record, I think, when he played the 42 games. Who's third?
Third highest paid player on the Rockies this year finished third in the MVP voting in the National League.
Really?
Nolan Arenado. Nolan finished third in the MVP. Why would we need Nolan Arenado here?
In fact,
let's just send $50 million with Nolan. Just to get rid of him, because why would we want him here?
We don't want
him. He wins gold gloves. He finishes third in MVP voting.
When does Cy Young get a... When did they award the Cy Young?
They already gave it.
Well, they did?
Yeah, your guy Verlander won.
He did? Yeah. Oh, I was wondering if he won.
Yep.
Who won in the National League? Do you know?
Oh. Yes. Alcantara.
Oh, okay.
From the Marlins.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that is what is trending. Top stories.
Yeah.
The Avalanche get a win last night. They get outshot 48-15, but hey, no worry. Frankie was between the pipes. Frankie stole a game for the Avs that even Jared Bednar was laughing at. He was laughing like a coach that just was like, we just stole one.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to apologize but we stole one. And
we'll take our 2 points and we'll leave.
We'll move on. One other bit of news. Jamal Murray joining Nikola Jokic in the health and safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like four players in the entire NBA in the health and safety protocols. The Nuggets have two of them, and they just so happen to be their two best players. So there you go.
Well, the Joker should get out soon.
Should. Yes. Should. But going to miss another game.
Okay.
They'll both miss another game. That is what is trending. It is an Is It Just Me Friday, but also a Phrase That Pays Friday. Okay, I'm really, everyone's up, they're moving, I'm really challenging everybody. We got to come up with the phrases that pay that Mark will use during the broadcast on Sunday. That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Man, I love our listeners. Love our listeners. Love the whole idea of Is It Just Me Friday. What do we always say on Is It Just Me Friday? Bring your hot sports takes. They can be about anything or everything. Just give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? We love big opinions. We love big humor. We love snark. How about this one?
Okay.
Is it just me, or does Evans probably believe Josh McDaniels deserves a video tribute on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah, you probably do.
No, I don't. Huh? No, 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 no. You think I, you know, people think.
He started 6-0, though.
You think I throw around video tributes like they're candy. No, there is a certain standard that needs. Basically, the video tribute.
See, that one's not a good analogy.
The video tribute comes down to this. It's somebody who's not going to be deserving enough to get their number retired, but there's somebody who made enough of a positive impact that they deserve at least a video tribute.
Yeah.
Okay?
Your analogy was bad, though, for me. You lost me at the analogy. You are thick and fluffy, and you don't throw around candy. You eat it. You gobble it up. So you got to throw around something else.
Throw around something else?
Yeah, other than candy.
What do I just, you know, casually throw around?
Like, I don't know. Sometimes we go into Raj's office to, like, have a meeting, and you get in that candy jar. He's got, Snickers.
Diabetes.
Yeah, he's been kind of lacking in the candy game lately.
Yeah?
I go in there. I start running. I do. I just make myself completely at home. I just start rummaging around his drawers. Where's the candy?
Feed me. Yeah, no video tribute.
No video tribute
for Josh.
I'm curious, is Broncos country so frustrated, upset, discouraged with their own team that they really won't even have the energy?
I was thinking about that.
To direct their venom towards Josh?
I was thinking about that. That Josh is going to get a free pass.
Yeah.
He's going to get a free pass because Broncos country is so disgusted with what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought, and we all thought, I thought, you thought, we all thought, man, we've solved the conundrum of the quarterback position.
Let's ride.
And now we just, you know, it's going to be smooth sailing. We're going to score 25 points a game, 26. It's going to be great. And here we are, dead last in the league scoring at 14 points a game. Like 14.6 points per game.
Yeah, so I think that's a crowd that's going to be showing up looking for blood.
Oh, yeah.
But not Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, right?
He'll be kind of an afterthought. I mean, they'll still have enough energy to direct some, but they're saving it all for that first three and out.
If the Broncos were 6-3, this would all be like, we'd be all over Josh. Like, we could.
Absolutely.
We'd have a chance. And, like, every time they showed him on the Jumbotron, the crowd would go crazy booing him.
Yep. This would be the We Hate Josh McDaniels week.
Yeah.
Instead, it's been an afterthought.
I know.
It's been forgotten. Yet another reason to be upset with the Broncos this year. They robbed us of that.
They robbed us of the pleasure of the first time that guy coming back to Denver as the head coach to really get after it. With some just good old-fashioned sports hate.
Right. Broncos, you took that away from us. God, you just keep laying us down.
Yeah.
Just keep laying us down. So disappointed in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even mad anymore. Now I just got to pull out the dad card.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed in you.
I really am disappointed in the decision you made. And I want you to think about this.
I want you to think about the consequences of all this. I want you to think about the consequences of your behavior.
What would you, what would you, how would you punish yourself if you were in my position?
Right. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Down. I was doing high knees.
I've never used that one. My kid would be like, I would do nothing. I've really thought about it.
He'd call you on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get to some of the phrases that pay. Okay? Some of the suggestions.
Now, all right, I'm writing down one.
This is a time-honored tradition. Anytime Mark calls a Broncos game, we have a couple, well, sometimes multiple, phrases that are just for our listeners that Mark sprinkles in. An average person watching, listening might be, it's kind of a odd phrase that he used just there.
I do the same thing.
But they're just for you, our listeners.
I do the same thing for Seattle games for all my college buddies that live in Seattle. But they try to give me phrases that will get me fired.
Yes.
We challenge you to get this in there. Like, dudes, listen.
Come on.
You guys got to be.
There are things called FCC rules. Right. Here.
So
here's some. Okay. Thick and fluffy.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay. That's the French toast that we've been promoting at IHOP, but that you have now decided actually best suits me.
That was your high school nickname.
Thick and fluffy. Hobbit hands.
Hobbit hands. I like Hobbit hands.
You got to work in Hobbit hands.
Coach.
Checking his oil. Somebody just said you got to go full Anchorman. Great Knights of Columbus. That hurt. You got to mention the all-for-naught defense.
All-for-naught defense.
I like this one. Speaking of, you got to work in a Hurricane Josh. Hurricane Josh.
Hurricane.
Okay. Somebody says you got to work in the Paxton Lynch Lazy River of Tears.
We can't. Paxton. There's one thing to do here on the show.
I don't think you've ever done this. I know we've. Have you ever brought up I Told You So Island? You need to introduce the national audience to the fact that you have an island.
I have an island.
Okay, I want you. This is mine. Okay. I want this one. I want you to bring up I Told You So Island. That you have your own. I want you to specifically say, I have my own island. It's called I Told You So Island.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah, how do you work that into a conversation?
That's your task. And then somebody says, Mark, I think the phrase it pays should be, damn, this Broncos offense sucks.
Hey, you know what? That, depending on what's going on in the fourth quarter.
Let's rock.
We shall see.
Somebody said, you got to work in high knees. I like that. In fact, I think you should work in high knees.
High knees.
I think you should work in here comes the airplane. Okay.
All right.
This is getting good.
Okay, high knees.
Here comes the airplane.
Here comes the airplane.
Big bite.
No. We don't want to do it. We don't want to be completely. We'll write it down. We haven't settled on anything yet. These are all just nominations.
I heal quick. I don't know if it's Wolverine blood or what.
Oh, Wolverine blood. Good one, Johnny. Yes. Got to work in Wolverine blood.
Oh, I think with all those, I think.
These are good. These
I think
good.
I think all the Russell Wilson catchphrases.
You
got to
work them all in. But you got to work them in without saying this is something that Russ.
Oh, no.
No, these are just, you are just working them in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is great. High knees, here comes the airplane, Wolverine blood.
Yeah.
And big bite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big bite.
I'm big
this,
bite.
This yeah, could be this bite. Could be the way to go. All make it all about big Russ. Bite.
It's all about Russ.
I think we're onto something here.
I do. I think
we're on. Oh, it's spicy? Can we do it spicy? Okay, I think this is shades of when you worked in all the 80s movies, 80s songs.
Right.
And you worked in like eight different lyrics.
Either titles, songs. Lyrics, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what you need to do, just as a nod to our listeners, is take Russ's greatest hits, work them in just conversationally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Unlimited!
It's spicy, high knees, here comes the airplane, big bite in Wolverine blood. Can you do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of... Okay, high knees.
High knees.
Let me see. That's one. Here comes the airplane.
Yeah.
Big bite.
Big bite.
Wolverine blood.
Uh-huh.
And it's spicy?
It's spicy.
That's five, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
If you work in Here Comes the Airplane.
Here comes the airplane.
Woo. If you work in a woo after that, that's next level. You're going right up on the Ring of Fame after that one.
You always start to think, I'm going to work in Here Comes the Airplane.
I know it sounds like it might be difficult, but you are good at that.
Yeah.
You're really good.
That's the only thing that... Here comes the air.
Somebody said bacon stripe?
No, we're not going to go.
Not going to do bacon stripe.
No. I like that.
I like that.
I think we got a good.
I think that's a good. I think we're it's you know we're all about Russell. The whole conversation centers around Russell.
Mm-hmm.
These are Russell's greatest hits. Work them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's
that's
all
perfect.
About Russ.
I think that's perfect. You're going to work in Russ's greatest hits throughout the broadcast as just a private little nod to our listeners.
Just an ode to you guys.
I love it. And here's how it'll work. If Twitter's still around on Sunday, we shall see. There was a lot of people last night on Twitter were like, if this is it, it's been fun. You know, if this is my last transmission, it's been fun.
Really?
I don't know. There was a lot of that going around yesterday. I have a hard time believing it's just going to go away.
Didn't he just spend like $40 billion on it or something?
$44
billion?
Yep.
Great cash, homie.
Dude. I mean, what do you, I guess that's what you do with $44 billion. You buy stupid stuff.
Somebody said work in a what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Hold on. Shibby-dooby-doo-wop.
We haven't done this in a while. Wait a minute. Let me get ready.
New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody talk about bop music.
Texter says, Mark, you would reach godlike status if you could somehow reach in or put in, I'm here.
I'm here. You guys realize I only do these broadcasts to entertain myself, right?
I'm here.
Oh, man.
I'm here.
Oh, we have to laugh. Hey, real quick, I'd like to give a mention of a great event that's going on tomorrow at Lakewood High School. It's the second annual Kindness Matters Foundation Games. At 3:00 and 5:00, we're going to have a couple of back-to-back local basketball games, girls basketball. We've got Green Mountain High School going up against Ralston Valley at 3:00, followed by Lakewood and D'Evelyn at 5:00. And it's all to raise money for the Kindness Matters Foundation, because one thing that we need more of in our lives and society is a little bit more sharing of kindness. And this is designed to build a scholarship fund to be able to reward high school students that really lead and go out of their way to spread kindness throughout their schools and throughout their peer groups and really serve as leaders. And I think it's an awesome, awesome event. And I've been part of it now for the second year and going to be out there at Lakewood High School tomorrow. So please come on by. It's a great event, and get on out and see some really good basketball between these are really four good programs, Green Mountain, Ralston Valley, Lakewood, and D'Evelyn. We'll have some more details at our website, denverfan.com. Get on out. You can donate some money to this great, great foundation and learn more about it. And come on out and watch some hoops with me. So look forward to that.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.